Our first reading is from Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp and the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn, that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of the Lord. They still bear fruit in old age. They are even full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in the first verse. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, and that we would be unclothed. But that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether it be good or evil. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. out of Egypt I called my son. The Gospel of the Lord. Reggie, come on up. Reggie is a fellow Anglican pastor locally, and so we're thrilled to have him back. So I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives, that you would speak through your servant Reggie this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. May please be seated. As always, it is a privilege and blessing to be able to share God's word with you. And I thank Mike for asking me to do this today. I want to cheer you up a little bit before we start, so listen to this one. You see, you'll love that. I'm sure you're going to remember this. It's about a little girl who went to her mother and she asked her mother, "Where do people come from? Where did they come from?" Her mother said, "Well, God made Adam and Eve. And they had children, and that is how all mankind evolved." A couple of days later, she went to Dad, her father, and asked the same question. The father answered, "For many years," said, "many, many years ago, there were monkeys and apes from which the human race evolved." Now the little girl got a little confused, and then she went back to her mom and said, "Mom, how is it possible that you told me that we were created by God and Daddy says that we came from apes?" Mom thought for a moment and said, "Well, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family and he told you about his." Not a great way to start a Father's Day, right? Message, but I'll make it up for you guys. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, thank you for your holy presence. This is the holy place, and you are a holy God. We want to honor you in everything we do today, Lord, in our worship, in this time of meditation, while we sing, while we kneel, while we partake in the Eucharist, Lord. Fill our hearts with your love and bless these words and add to it your flesh and blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know, today is Father's Day. And like many of you, I remember my earthly father. He passed away many years ago. But when we were young, my brother and I had one brother. We got up very early, ate our breakfast, and then we ran away into the woods. Surrounding our home was a national forest and several mountains all around. We lived on a coffee plantation. We would spend hours and hours in the woods. But then my dad, when we were gone too long, would come out of the house, he'll put his hands over his mouth, and he'd look in different directions, and he would yell out for us. His voice would echo from one mountain to the other. And whenever we heard his voice, we quickly made our way back to home. I'm sure there are many who heard his voice, but not all of them were obedient to that voice because they were not his children. So what am I saying? I'm saying that a good father always looks out for his children and cares for them. Like many of you, I was lucky to have a good father, but maybe there is somebody here this morning who never had that experience. There is a deep wound in your heart because you have never known the love of a father. And to those I say, turn your eyes towards heaven. You have the best father. You have an eternal father who loves you. His love is so deep and so wide, incomprehensible. He loves you so much, my friends, and he cares for you dearly. And a day is coming when all of us, all this earthly stuff is going to vanish away, and we're all going to gather. Yes, all of us. We're all going to gather around our Father's table, We are going to be his children, and we are going to live and reign with him forevermore. Being a dad is not easy. And you don't have to be perfect. All you got to do is do your best every day and be there for your family. For the most part, that's all they expect from you. They do not look for material things. They're looking for someone who loves them and someone who cares for them. I hope you listen carefully to the gospel reading this morning. It seems like it was a Christmas story, but it was about a man. It was about Joseph, a model father. And that's an example of a great father. All of us can learn how to be a good father from Joseph. Very little is said about Mary's husband, Joseph, in the Bible, but I believe his life and his person is very significant. Why? Because Almighty God chose Joseph to be the earthly father of his only son. Imagine the Father from heaven looking down to earth and trying to pick somebody to be the earthly father of his son. Joseph was not rich. Joseph was not influential. Joseph was not a rabbi in the temple. But there was something special about Joseph for God to entrust his son to take care of Joseph. I'm going to use the gospel lesson, as I said, to see what is that something special about Joseph. As you know, Joseph was only the stepfather of our Lord, but that didn't matter. It didn't bother Joseph. But Joseph was the man who raised Jesus into manhood. Likewise, I've seen many stepdads doing a magnificent job with their children. If I'm speaking to someone like that today, I want to say thank you. Thank you for picking up where somebody left off and making a difference in the life of that son or the daughter who now knows the love of a father. And then there are many single dads who have sacrificed their life to take care of their children. To them, we say thank you. Verse 18 tells us that Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. So in that sense, I'm just suggesting, in that sense, there was really no need for a man in the life of Mary. But God knows how important it is to be nurtured by a father and loved by a father and be raised by a father. And so he chose Joseph. But why Joseph again, maybe you're asking? Because Joseph had the qualities of a good father. Quality number one, and you can jot this down if you like. Joseph was a loving man. A good father must first love his wife. That's where it all starts. That's where it all begins. Joseph was very loving towards Mary. Are you loving towards your wife, my friends? For example, when he heard that Mary was pregnant for somewhere else, Joseph didn't get bitter. Joseph didn't get mad. He didn't go running around the town, dragging her through the dirt and telling everybody that she was pregnant for somebody else. No. Joseph was a man with a heart to forgive. He was able to see the bigger picture. Scripture tells us that he was minded to put her away privately. He showed Mary unusual kindness. He didn't want to disgrace Mary in public. One of the best things a father can do is to love the mother of his children. Don't fight in public. Don't curse each other in public. Don't swear at each other in front of your children. You may not realize, but your children watch how you treat their mother. The example you set for your family is the one that they will emulate as they grow up. Mary and Joseph were a team. They went through all the hardships together. One didn't desert the other. Joseph was always there for Mary, and Mary was always there for Joseph. They never complained. Joseph's life was always at risk, especially with people like Herod around. But he never complained. It was no big deal for Joseph to walk all the way to Egypt, hundreds of miles. But he was not going to allow somebody to harm his son or his stepson. As you can see, Joseph was very, very protective. Perhaps you're saying, well, I want to be like Joseph. I want to be a father like that. But my kids have disappointed me from time to time. And that may be true. Maybe you had to bail them out now and then. But don't grumble. Don't grumble, my friends. Because they are your children and you are their father. Maybe you did that when you were small too, younger. If you don't bail them out, who will? Children make mistakes. But the love and a blessing of a father is imperative in the life of every child. Take time to tell your children how much you love them. They can't read your mind. You need to tell them. You need to use words to express your love to them because words are powerful. Remember the time when our Lord Jesus was baptized by John in the river? You know how proud it made the Father? So he announced to the whole universe. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Friend, the more you brag about your children, the better they turn out to be. It is better to speak blessings over your children than to curse them or throw them under the bus. Quality number three, a good father must provide for his family. I know in our day and age, both parents sometimes need to work to pay the bills, and that is okay, but the primary responsibility to provide for the family is the father. Moms already have full-time jobs, raising children, cooking, cleaning, doing the laundry. That is what Mary did too, while Joseph ran his carpentry business to help feed his family. It was easy for Joseph to look up to heaven and say, "God, this is your son. You gave this burden to us. Now you figure it out. Help us to put food on the table." No. Instead, Joseph worked hard every day in his carpenter's shop, making furniture. Not that he was going to buy houses and cars, but just that he could feed and take care of his family. Quality number four, a good father walks in obedience to the Lord. That is what Joseph did in verse 20 and 21 when God asked Joseph to take Mary as his wife, even though she was pregnant. He never argued. He simply obeyed and trusted the Lord. Joseph could not even pick a name for the little boy. Think about that. Sure, many of you had kids. You thought for months and months, what should you name the child? Joseph did not even have the opportunity to give the son a name. But he let it go. He chose to be obedient to the Lord when the Lord said his name should be Jesus. Later on, when God said, take Mary and flee to Egypt for safety, he didn't even give it a second thought. He didn't try to analyze how he was going to get there, what he was going to do. He simply obeyed, shut down his business, and left. He left the security and comfort of familiar faces, family, a livelihood, and went away to a strange land. Think about that. How obedient he must have been to the voice of the Lord. What about us? What about you? What about me? How can we expect obedience from our children if we aren't obedient to our Father? If you want your children to listen to you, my friends, set an example by being obedient to the Lord. Scripture tells us, and you'll find that in Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, I think it says, obedience is better than sacrifice. When we reject God, God will reject us. But when we listen to God, God will bless us. God loved the children of Israel. He called them his covenant people. He adopted them. He said, you are my children, I am your father. But they disappointed him so many times. And he called them disobedient children. There was no blessing to disobedience. Quality number 5. A good father is a man of faith. How about that? A good father is a man of faith. Joseph set an example for his family by going to the temple and attending and observing all the feasts. He never stayed home. He never went to play golf. He never gave 120 excuses why he didn't have to go to church, because the sermon was boring. Everything was not the way he wanted it to be. The singing was off key. On and on and on. No. He went to church to worship the Lord. Some people come to church to see what can I get out of church. But I'm asking, what are you giving to the worship? Like Michael said, you come to worship to give of yourself a living sacrifice to the Lord. When Jesus was just 8 days old, Joseph had him circumcised, according to the custom of the day. And shortly thereafter, Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. Likewise, Dad, I'm suggesting that you should be the one to take your family to church. You should be the one to lead your family in daily prayer. Someone once said, a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Isn't that so true? If we seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, Scripture says, then everything else will fall in place. Everything else will be added unto you. Lots of families are lacking. Lots of families are missing a blessing. Lots of families are in want. Lots of families are in turmoil because they do not have a father who looks up to heaven. If every family had a father that looks up to heaven, how will you be cursed? How will you see bad things happen to you? Because God has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. In Jewish tradition, there are 3 stages in the life of a child. Listen to me carefully. 3 stages in the life of a child. It's the mom's responsibility, not that the father is not present. I'm just talking about roles here. It's the mom's responsibility to take care of the child until he or she is weaned. Next, the child is handed over to the father till he or she reaches the age of puberty. And it's about 12 years for the girls and 13 for the boys. At that point, the child has a bar mitzvah celebration, which is their rite of passage into adulthood. Bar mitzvah means the son of the law or son of the commandments. And then the child starts going to the temple and so on and so forth. At this time, the father hands over the children to the custody of the Lord. Joseph did essentially that. Remember the time when Jesus was 12 years old and he went to the temple by himself? What about you, my friends? Have you raised a son and daughter who wants to be in church or in the temple more than in a bar or a club? So what am I saying? I am saying that a good father leads his family to the Lord. The most important thing is to get right with God. You can have houses and cars and everything else. The end of this life can't take anything with you. Won't it be sad when you get to heaven and find that there's only part of your family there because you didn't do your job? We know that Joseph was taken away prematurely. He had a very short life. Right after the time when Jesus was 12 years old, nothing is said about Joseph anymore. Maybe, I'm just suggesting, his role was over when symbolically he handed over his son to the Heavenly Father. But he used what little time he had here on earth very wisely. He loved his wife. He worked hard to support his family. He loved the Lord too, and he trusted the Lord completely, even when it made no sense. Pick up all your stuff, go to Egypt. Pick up all your stuff, go to Africa. In other words, Joseph was filled with eternal and divine perspectives. He was able to see the big picture through all the mumbo jumbo of this world. And so to all dads, stepdads, and grandpas, let us aspire to be like Joseph. It's not too difficult. You can do it. Remember, you're not an accident. Just like God picked Joseph to be the father of his son, God has handpicked you to be the husband of your wife and the father of your children. Stay faithful to that calling, my friends, so that you too can be a blessing to your family, just as Joseph was a blessing to Mary and their son Jesus. Let us pray. Awesome and wonderful God, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for looking out for us, for being our Father in heaven, for providing for us everything that we need. Thank you for our earthly families, Lord, for earthly fathers that have sacrificed and done great things to love their family, love their children, provide for their children, provide for their wives. Bless them today, Lord, especially as we celebrate Father's Day. May your grace and mercy be upon them. May your Holy Spirit be with them. Help them to be the one to lead their families to you. May your mercy and grace be upon this congregation too, Lord, as they journey here on earth. Help them, O Lord, to be able to cling on to you and to your righteousness, because we know if we seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added to us. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.